dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
And welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, live from Big 12 Media Days here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us, brought today in part by Slugger's Bar and Grill, 707 West Anna Street in Grand Island. It's just a block west of South Locust, where you can find a pretty damn good charburger anytime that their doors are open. And you can get any sporting event you want, whether it's cable, dish, on the net. They're going to get it up for you to watch while you're enjoying pretty damn good charburger or whatever you want off the menu at Slugger's Bar and Grill, 707 West Anna Street in Grand Island. Continuing with Big 12 Media Days, might be holding on here for just a second to catch up with another Baylor. Might have Coach Art Briles. We're not sure if we're going to be able to get him in his allotted time or not, but we've got some more folks we're going to hear from. Gene Chizik is going to join us. We're going to hear some comments from him coming up in just a little bit as well before the show ends as we take the extended edition into a 1 o'clock.
Yeah, Art Briles at the table, a couple down from us. It'd be nice, those Omaha guys, and you know who they are, Kevin Kugler, Michael Sevier, if you don't. They got to talk to the guy for a half hour.
Well, you heard from Bob Stoops in our last segment, Daddy. Anything that he said today that really surprised you?
No, you know, it's one of those situations where you're kind of on top of the mountain until somebody knocks you off. It's kind of smooth sailing.
And I thought guys kind of made it smooth sailing on him. So we'll see what happens with Oklahoma. Can Texas Tech make it? They still have to beat Texas. There's a lot of other folks that they've got to do some work with. So it'll be interesting to see how things all run down here. 1-888-455-ESPN. You can always email the Dead Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Love to hear from you on the Doug and Daddy Show. We will be back in studio tomorrow. Coming up later on this week, we're going to be catching up with the head coaches for the Nebraska Shrine Bowl, the high school contest coming up this Saturday. And we are going to go ahead and have a chance here for just a couple of moments to talk to the brand new head coach at the University of Baylor. Art Briles joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, thanks so much.
Doug and Daddy?
Yeah.
Come on now. Who, I guess you're Doug and this would be Daddy.
That's the guy wearing the big green Baylor shirt today.
I like it.
Check
Daddy,
out these
thank you, man.
Right here. Right here. Look at the front of this deal.
That's Doug and Daddy. I'll tell you, those are almost lifelike.
Well,
I mean, they look good.
My face is much skinnier. Is it not in person?
That's good. This is a big time deal, huh?
Well, can you tell this is a little bit this is a little different than the last conference you were in? There are psychos everywhere around here.
Yeah, that's right. This is great, though. Y'all, I've learned the Nebraska people like their football.
Oh,
there's a few Nebraska folks here in Kansas City.
Well, there's six radio stations in the whole state. We got five of them here, so. yeah, we do, Coach. You know, you like your football, and you like winning. You've won everywhere you went.
Yes, sir.
What is it about you that
yeah,
leads that?
I don't think it's anything to do about me. I think it's just about the situations. You know, I think I have a pretty good instinctive feel for being in the right situation at the right time, and you know, that's kind of the way I felt about it. I know everybody's saying, you know, well, it's not going to happen there. But, you know, that's kind of what makes you want to do it, you know, because I want people, when everybody else is walking right, they're going to walk left. And, you know, we got some guys like that on staff.
If somebody in this conference is going to compete, they've got to have facilities.
Exactly.
They're building your facilities right now to kind of even the playing field, if you will, for the Baylor Bears. You're
yes.
getting quality athletes. We bring up Robert Griffin. We've talked to Jason Smith about Robert Griffin. I told people he's a world-class athlete. And to get people like, you've got to have the facilities. Talk about them first.
No doubt. And they have made a commitment to that. And, you know, I'm very appreciative for it. And actually that was in place before I ever got there. So, you know, they were on the right train of thought with that. And that it'll help us. You know, there's still some things that we'll have to do as a program and as a university. But, you know, that's our job to do it. But, you know, honestly, Big Daddy, the way I went in there, you know, I just said, you know, give us this opportunity, and then we'll run with it. And, you know, we'll build as we go along. But, you know, right now we're just focusing on, you know, getting respect and getting credibility this season and, you know, throwing a few W's on the field, and we'll see what happens.
I suppose taking those two games off the schedule and adding Connecticut and
Wake Forest.
Let's add another bowl game. I'm sure you like that, too.
Well, we got, you know, like I said, Baylor want to be first in something. We got the toughest schedule in the conference, so we're starting out first in something this year.
brand new Baylor head coach in his first year, obviously, Art Briles. Coach, tell me about when you've assessed your talent here, what you thought when you walked in and looked at these kids for the first time.
You know, talent-wise, we're okay. You know, we've got good enough people to win. You know, there's a lot of parity in college football. You know, I think there's eight universities that you can put up there at the top. Every time they step on field, 95% of the time, they're going to win. Now, I'm not going to name those eight, but the rest of those 112 that are down in there, you know, are pretty equal. So our guys can play. You know, we got good enough guys to go out and play and win and scare people. You know, what we got to do is just make them believe it. We got to put them in positions for success. Then we got to turn it loose and let it happen.
Doug, they're pulling Art every different direction, and we appreciate him stopping by. I hope he's having fun doing this.
I am.
What's the experience been like for you today?
You know, it's just what I expected. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people, a lot of interest, a lot of care. You know, and I do appreciate that. I know when push comes to shove that, you know, people are gonna, you know, like me now, but they're gonna want to beat me when it's game time. But I understand that and I respect that. And you know, what we're trying to do, we're just trying to get it to where when people walk by and people are talking about Baylor, somebody's going to stop, look, and listen.
Coach, what's the offense? People say you'll see something you've never saw in the Big 12 before. You run out of a spread attack. You do some crazy things, kind of open it up a little bit. What's it like?
Well, we've always prided ourselves on being innovative, you know. So we do what we do, and we try to do it the best we can, and we try to be intelligent about how we approach it. So we're going to have fun. We're going to be fast-paced. And, you know, don't slip off and go get you a Diet Coke. Stay there and watch the game because something could happen.
But well, we can't wait to see you guys in Lincoln, Coach. It's going to be fun. We'll let you get to the next stop. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Doug.
Daddy, thanks. Right. Art Briles, the new head coach of the Baylor Bears, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Sure appreciate the time as he continues to move along here and grabs a couple of spots. Daddy, you know, I think that's the one thing you're looking at. It's very, very fun to see what Baylor does. A lot of people don't think it's going to be a winning brand of football, but it's going to be fun, and who knows?
Who knows? Give this guy a couple years. There's a smile on his face. There's a bounce in his step. He's won everywhere he's been. He won four state titles in, I believe, 12 years in 4A football in Texas. You know, he won.
Baylor, if you're going to take the step, because, you know, let's face it, I think a couple of years ago here at Big 12 Media Days, of course, a couple of the Baylor kids said some really strange things that we're going to shock the world and win the conference and play for a national title and weird things like that. But realistically, just a couple of years ago, people thought Baylor could do a little bit, make that next step, maybe not to what Kansas did. I'm not talking 12-1, but could get into the upper half of the South Division, and the ball did not bounce their way a couple of times. Then Guy Morris and the guys had a bad year last year. You know, that's the problem with a Baylor University, is that they need everything to go their way one time, right?
Well, they need everything to go their way because at Baylor University, first of all, you haven't had the facilities to match up. You haven't had, certainly had, the talent to match up. And when you do get a few talented people, you haven't had the depth to match up. So when somebody goes down, you know, a couple of years ago, Baylor's in a position to go to a bowl game. Quarterback goes down, screwed. They lose out. They're done. You know, there was a building block. They get to a bowl game. Things move on. Things go in the positive direction. Guy Morris is safe. It goes the other way. Throw your hands in the air because you're starting over again.
Well, we do want to thank the head coach from the Baylor Bears, Art Briles, for giving us a couple of minutes. And we want to thank the fine folks that allow us to be here at Big 12 Media Days in Kansas City, including Island Pet Resort, 1311 Getty Street in Grand Island, the unsurpassed place for your pet and pet needs, boarding, doggy daycare, and life's abundance dog food. It's what they want to promote. Perfect for heading out to those Husker games or whatever you're doing during the weekend. They want you to know that if you need to go somewhere but you need some place for Bugs to go spend the weekend, Daddy's little dog, you take him to Island Pet Resort, 1311 Getty Street, Grand Island. Give him a buzz. Find out a whole lot more at 384-4679.
Eight radio stations, by the way. We're trying to get Art Briles. Kind of pulled him out of there. Damn, I'm good at times.
Well, you're wearing Baylor green.
I do have a green shirt on, the old bear color, a little bear flavor. We've talked a lot about Baylor Bears.
Well, we have, and they need to get a little bit better. We're going to talk about another team that needs to get a little bit better, the Iowa State Cyclones. They're here today. Gene Chizik had a chance to catch up and get some comments from him, and we'll hear from the coach at Iowa State right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. There's just not enough O's in smooth to describe this show.
Football.
When it's football time, the Gridiron Talker on the Big 12 comes out of Media Days. This year, live from Kansas City, Doug and Danny for some special two-hour programs. Coaches.
We're going to have one of our best defenses, and we've had a few good defenses since I've been at Kansas. So
players.
We just haven't won that game, and I think that's why a lot of people might not be jumping on the bandwagon.
Lots of talk.
Tad Johnson, T.O., we can go. Hey, it don't matter. That's the mentality you got to have when you play corner. It don't matter who in front of me is going to be popping.
Lots of opinion.
We're all in the same league, and it's a heck of a league.
This is your football fix for another 5 weeks.
Brought to you by the Wave Pizza Company at 107 North Walnut and Grand Island, the premier pizza place.
Special two-hour Doug and Danny shows 11 to 1 each day for 3 big days, Big 12 Media Days, on ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM.
Attention all men and women age 50 or older. This is your final notice. The Nebraska Senior Games are being held in Kearney August 7th through the 10th. Today is the final day to get signed up. If you enjoy golfing, swimming, track and field events, tennis, or a number of other sports, this is your chance to show off your skills. Kearney is a qualifying site for advancement to the National Senior Games this year. So for more information, head to NebraskaSeniorGames.com or contact the Kearney Park and Recreation Department. Today is the final day.
This is your ESPN Superstation radio playbook for July 21st through the 27th. Join the Kearney Area Chamber of Commerce Business and Youth Education Committee in welcoming new teachers to Kearney. The Business and Youth Education Committee is once again creating Welcome to Kearney baskets. Chamber members are invited and encouraged to introduce their businesses to new teachers by delivering items to fill the baskets. Please contact the Chamber at 237-4671 or email sthomas@kearneycoc.org to confirm your participation. 7 students from Vermont's leading colleges and universities will bicycle cross-country from the Green Mountains in Vermont to the Grand Tetons of Wyoming to register as many voters as possible for the 2008 presidential election. In between the 6 major registration stops, the riders will visit dozens of diners and local eateries along the route in an effort to register as many voters as possible during their cross-country trek. The next stop is Minden, Nebraska, on July 23rd at the River Red Restaurant.
I'm Richie Ross from the Tennessee Titans. You're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS.
We'll see a mix of clouds and sunshine develop across the area as we head through the day today with a slight chance of some scattered storm activity late. Highs will reach around 87 with southeast winds to 10 to 20 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll see the possibility of some scattered showers or storms with lows around 70. I'm meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 79.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show, continuing live from Big 12 Conference Media Days here in Kansas City. Things starting to wind down, just a couple of teams left to go, and hopefully we'll get to chat a little more Texas football. They're the last school to come rolling through. We've had a chance to catch up with Oklahoma. You've already heard from Bob Stoops. Just had a chance to talk live with Baylor head coach Art Briles. In just a second here, we're going to have Gene Chizik for you from Big 12 Media Days, brought to you in part by Computer Hardware. Check them out in Kearney. They get us online and knowing what to do as best as we can do here at the Doug and Daddy Show. Want to thank Jason and the gang, as always, at Computer Hardware for all their help. Want to remind you, lunchtime means Chicken Coop, Kearney, or Grand Island. If you want to play a little keno, if you want to play a little bowling, if you want to just sit there and have an icy cold beverage on a hot day like this and enjoy a great lunch special every single day, they've got that for you. Great drink and food specials every night, anywhere from a salad to a steak. If you want to try over their dozen different wing tastes, oh, and so many good. Love the honey Dijon. Love the medium, the hot. There's a great Jamaican jerk. Check that out. And, of course, they'll make a pizza any way you like it. They've got some specialty pies, and they've got their pizzas as well. Check them out. It's always a great time at the Chicken Coop, downtown Kearney and Grand Island. Well, as we said, just talking with Art Briles from Baylor, they're going to have to improve and maybe even a tougher task. I don't know. Is it a tougher task at Iowa State, Daddy, in your opinion, or is it a tougher task at Baylor right now?
Well, you'd have to say it's a tougher task at Iowa State because of the lack of facilities. I think they're putting money into the Kansas program, $32 million. You're putting money into the Baylor program, $34 million. Haven't heard that at Iowa State. Haven't heard that. And it's just tough. You're losing quality players.
Put money in that program at Nebraska, I hear.
That's good.
$80 million.
We'll take it. We'll take it. You know, I think that's the first step. You've got to get on equal playing ground. I'm not sure they're able to do that. That's why I think they're going to be at the bottom of the Big 12 North.
And we had a chance to ask Coach Gene Chizik how tough it is coming into Iowa State right now when everybody else seems to be improving right along.
Right. Picked a bad year to come into the North, didn't they? Phenomenal league. That's all I can say, phenomenal league, and I've pretty much been in all of what I consider to be the best in the country. And I just think the Big 12 North has exploded. And Gary's done a great job at Missouri. Mark's done a great job at Kansas. I mean, just everybody. You know, Bo's going to get Nebraska back. I mean, it's going to be a league where it's week in and week out. I mean, you've got to battle, you know, every week. Again, for us to be able to stay in the pack, we've got to do a phenomenal job of recruiting great athletes and developing them. That, to me, is the key. Because we're not going to get the same guys right now that Texas and Oklahoma is going to get. Okay, we can't fool ourselves on that. We got to get the right guys, get them into our system, and we got to develop them over 5 years. And that's how we got to lay that track down for the future.
And just being maybe a little bit short in that area make it that much harder, particularly when you're taking on some of these spread offenses. Everybody's having a hard time figuring out how to stop these guys, I realize.
But yeah, it's you can see that. You know, I mean, when we even play, when you look at our spread teams in our league that go out of the league and play, you know, people have a hard time defending them if they haven't done it. And but that's the, you know, they're smart. You know, they understand right now that, you know, they can spread you out and get mismatches here and there, especially with teams that maybe aren't as talented as theirs. And it's a challenge. But, you know, that's why they pay us, and that's why we're in coaching.
When are the defenses going to catch up, Gene?
You know, that's a great question. You know, everything in football seems to go in cycles. I mean, that's just the way it is. It really does. And you know, the spread offenses now, and there's different versions of them. All of them aren't the same. And so, you know, for a defense to catch up, it's kind of a catch-me-if-you-can game because this guy runs a spread offense and he does it one way. This guy runs a spread offense and they do it the other way. So you can go to Oklahoma State, you can go to Kansas, and you can go to Missouri, and they're all three different, but everybody sees it as a spread offense. So that's a great question because there's a lot of variations in there, and it's just going to take time for the defenses to catch up.
Because of it, are some of the better athletes wanting to go on offense now? I mean, have you seen that as well?
I don't think so. I think in college, most guys have a great idea of what they, you know, what is their role going to be as a college player. And what it does do is if you're a wide receiver, you know, even a running back now, because these spread offenses have 1,000-yard runners every year. And so, you know, for offensive guys that are coming into college, it's very intriguing to go to a place like that that runs that, because whether you're a wideout, if you're a skilled guy, it intrigues you because they use them a lot.
What is the key position then on defense? Is it up front getting pressure on the quarterback, or is it the secondary to hold the receiver?
Well, I think everything, in my opinion right now, in my experience with defensive football, is everything starts up front. You know, everything starts with your defensive line. Philosophically, me personally, I just don't feel like you can be a good defense without stopping the run first, because even the spread offenses, as we're talking about now, they're going to run the football. I mean, look what Missouri did in the bowl game, you know, and so, you know, you got to stop the run, and you got to start with your four down interior linemen.
Coach, we talked about your role in moving the program forward, talked about the players. Tell me a little bit about the other part of this, the administration. I know there's a fairly new athletic director at ISU, and then even higher up within the university. When they brought you in, somebody told you something or you saw something that convinced you, I can build a team that can win here at this university. What was it that you saw, and are you still convinced that you can get what you need out of the university to build a winning team there?
I am convinced of that. You know, after being there a year, you know, when you take a job, you don't ever really know exactly how it's going to unfold till you get there. But Jamie Pollard is our athletic director, and Greg Joffre is our president, and they have made a commitment, and it hasn't been just on with words. I mean, you go to our stadium now, you can see all kinds of renovations going on. You'll see them for the next 2 to 3 years. There's a lot of things that they have made a commitment to do. And when we talked about this with me taking this job, I felt like those things had to be in place, and everything that they've said since I took the job a year ago has happened.
the kids excited about that? Because I know they see you can go down to Norman and they've got a whirlpool the size of this room, and Texas has gold-plated everything, and I know they've got to at times feel like, how are we ever going to compete with that? Do you think your kids are buying in now to the idea, hey, we can really do that. We can really compete with these guys at Iowa State week in and week out?
Well, I think our guys love football, and I think that, you know, you can have a lot of window dressing and a lot of fluff. And it's all nice to have. But if your guys love to play the game and they love football and they really truly believe in themselves and they got confidence, then it doesn't matter who you play. And it doesn't matter how nice their locker room is, and it doesn't matter how nice their equipment room is. And you know, and so, you know, in that regard, when I talk about bringing the right guys to Iowa State, we might not get the same guys, but we'll get the right guys, and they're going to believe in what we're doing, and they're going to have confidence in what we're doing, and they're going to believe that they can win, and that's what we got to win with.
Gene, how you like the new unis?
Love them. I picked them. No, I'm just kidding. that was really nice, really nice. I think Jamie did a great job with just kind of creating a whole new look and just kind of a start over feel, and I think the players are excited about it, and it's neat.
Has the response been pretty good?
I think so. I really do. You know, at first, you know, anytime you make change, there's going to be a third of the people for it, a third of the people against it, and a third of people don't care one way or the other. But I think the more they see them and the more they're around it, and certainly, you know, after the first game, I think they'll all jump on board. If you're winning, you could wear any color you want.
Yeah.
We could wear purple.
Gene, I'm sure you've done this a little bit late getting here. Would you just evaluate real quickly where you are here in year two?
Yeah, you know, I really feel good about it being on track, you know, in what we laid out a year ago and where we, you know, where we envisioned the program being taken. And as I say that, understanding that 3-9 is certainly not acceptable. Nobody's happy with that. Nobody's proud of that. As I said earlier, you know, people want to talk about improvement at the end of the year. Yeah, there was improvement, but, you know, to me, that's all feel-good stuff. The bottom line is we're 3-9, and that's unacceptable. And, you know, we expect, you know, down the road for this program to continue to grow, and we think we've laid the bricks in place for the foundation for it to start, you know, going in that direction. So I feel good where we're at. I think the players now really kind of understand philosophically what we need them to do and who we need them to be. And it doesn't mean that they'll be perfect on everything, but I think that as time goes on, you get used to, you know, the expectations and the demands of us as coaches. And in that regard, I think everything's on track.
Gene, do you feel like the end of the year and the positivity there might allow the returners to have a lot of confidence moving forward?
Well, I do. I think that, you know, we did win two games there at the end. You know, we played in some games that, you know, we had our chances to win and played some very good football teams. You know, again, I think this is all a confidence deal. It's all a focus deal, attention to detail deal. And, you know, I think that our players are really understanding and buying into the importance of those things. And certainly the end of the year helped, much more so than if we didn't win any at the end, you know. So, and we won two quality games. We beat two very quality football teams. So, you know, I think in the end that helps.
What are you looking for from this next season? Is there a number? Is there a specific goal? Or is it just going to be more measured week by week?
It's day by with our football program, it's day by day, and let's get to the next day, and then let's get to that week. And I mean that, and I don't mean that as a cliche. I mean, I really mean it. You know, how did we do in the weight room today? You know, how did we do in the film room today? Did we do what we were supposed to do? All right, let's go to tomorrow. And, you know, that's really kind of the mentality we're trying to build with these guys. And, you know, you can't climb a mountain by looking at the top right now. You got to take those steps and look where you're going step by step, and that's really how we feel.
Sounds a heck of a lot like the way Mangino describes it. He's been fairly successful with that idea.
He really has. And, you know, I just think it's 200 years old. I think that, you know, you take it day by day and you do everything you can in that day. And you're never promised tomorrow, but you hope it gets here, and then you do it again that day.
Coach, even at Iowa State, to step into a program with the people like Brett Meyer, Ace Bowen, Todd Blythe, people are mainstays in the Big 12, you lose those guys. Replacing them, obviously, is a monumental task of, you know, for any program, but even at Iowa State, to have players like that that are just such quality, how do you do that?
Well, you know, that's a challenge. You know, it's not necessarily when you lose guys like that, it's not necessarily that you can never replace them with the same type or caliber of athlete. It's the experience that it's really, really hard to overcome. There's no substitute for experience. And when you lose so many guys that have played in so many games, that's where it gets difficult. And again, that'll be a challenge. But again, you know what? I don't feel like Iowa State is ever going to hang their hat on one, two, or three players. This is a team game, and Iowa State will always be, it's going to be a team thing. And again, I don't mind that there's no media, media guide cover guys. I got no problem with that. I don't need to throw a guy in the front of the media guide. You know, I would rather not, because this is a team game, and we've got to build this thing as 11 strong on each side of the ball and special teams. So, you know, I that doesn't bother me, but it will. The experience that we'll have to replace will be, you know, will be monumental, as you said.
Could you talk?
And that's Gene Chizik, the head football coach at Iowa State. It's tough to, in your mind, know how big your challenge is going to be, and yet say the right thing so that the confidence is there for all your kids.
Well, you got to have confidence, and especially Gene Chizik's side of the ball is the defensive side of the ball. That's what they want to improve and get better on, you know, that playing that faster style defense, getting to the quarterback. That's what they've not been able to do while at Iowa State yet to this point.
Well, it's going to be a difficult task at Iowa State. But, you know, if Kansas State is as bad as everybody thinks that they could be, depending on this JUCO, you know, I think Iowa State can make some moves this year. The problem is nobody wants to hear that a move is from 3 wins to 5 wins or from 2 wins to 4 wins.
That's exactly right. People want advancement. You know, they want to see the Kansas stories. Well, those Kansas stories are few and far between. Now, they've been able to take care of Iowa in the past.
Yeah, but the thing is, some Rabbit fans will be, you know, even the Nebraska fans will be going, well, wow, if Kansas did it in 1 year, Kansas didn't do it in 1 year.
No,
Kansas didn't do it in 1 year. Missouri didn't do it in 1 year. We've seen it coming, the opportunity to be there. I think the opportunity for Nebraska is there. I don't think the opportunity this year for Iowa State is there.
The opportunity is there. This is a team, Doug. Here's an interesting stat. 9 touchdowns by all the quarterbacks at Iowa State last year. 9 touchdown passes last season. That tied them with Air Force, Navy, and Maryland for the fewest among the 119 teams. Division I football. 9? I could have thrown 9. I could have thrown 9.
Well, the crazy way things work, though, Iowa State beat Colorado, who beat Oklahoma. So, I mean, that kind of maybe shows you how close things can be in the Big 12 Conference. And I think there's going to be a lot, we've talked about this, a lot of interesting football games in the Big 12. But for some of these schools, unfortunately, maybe Iowa State, even Baylor somewhere, sneaks in and it takes Oklahoma to overtime or upsets a Texas school and does something. We'll have to see if Iowa State or Kansas State can do that in the North.
But you've got to think that non-conference schedule, South Dakota State, Kent State. You got to win those ball games just to give yourself a chance in the Big 12 with some confidence building early on.
Exactly. There's that word we've been using a lot on the show is confidence. You can go so much farther if you've got a little confidence on your football team. If you can win football games, not lose close ones, but win football games. Doug and Daddy Show live from Kansas City, Big 12 Media Days, brought to you in part by the Wave Pizza Company in Grand Island, Brown Shoe Fit on the Bricks in downtown Kearney, and Centura Hills Golf Course among the many fine sponsors. We'll take a break and be back with more on this extended edition of the Doug and Daddy Show live from Kansas City in the Big 12 Football Media Days right after this.
Look what the guys on the team gave me.
Well, let's try it.
A safe bet anytime.
Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN Radio Superstation.
During the summer, you're spending a lot of time in your outdoor living area. This means you're exposing it to more wear and tear. Protect your porch with floor and porch enamel from Hank's Paint. It's a multi-purpose and wear-resistant. Visit Hank this week for floor and porch enamel from Hank's Paint Department. For the Hank nearest you, visit HardwareHank.com.
You've got a lot.
It began with national security, evolved into ecological tracking, then on to agriculture and transportation. But now, GPS global positioning has taken on a more important task, your golf game. It's the state-of-the-art at Indian Head Golf Club in Grand Island. Global positioning devices are now on every cart, eliminating the distance guesswork. Improves your club selection for the next shot for a better game. Indian Head Golf Club, where the fun begins.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect a fish from his environment, the Armacoating spray-on bed liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating spray-on bed liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
The right team can make a big difference when planning your personal financial strategy. At Platte Valley State Bank, they understand your needs, know what it takes, and have the resources to get it done. Whether you want online banking, a personal loan, or need investment options, they're ready to help and are prepared to build a financial relationship with you that will truly make a difference. If you need more from your banker, contact Denise Villegas and Butch Morrell in Grand Island, or in Kearney, contact Nancy Osterber and Jody Smith. The right team can make a big difference, and Platte Valley State Bank has the team that's right for you. Member FDIC.
Sidewalk sales are going on now through Saturday at ABC Drug and Gift. ABC has a whole hallway full of great savings on everything from Fenton glass cars to seasonal decorations. Shop ABC Drug now through Saturday and save at least 50% off of everything in the hallway and even an aisle in the store. Get there early for the best selection. With prices falling every day, it's going fast. ABC Drug and Gift, Kauffman Center, downtown Kearney.
It's just as easy as ABC Drug Store.
The hottest entertainment of the summers at FairFest at the Adams County Fairgrounds. It starts July 23rd with Jason Aldean.
And a hick town.
Jack Ingram takes the stage on Thursday.
Love you.
And none other than Blake Shelton entertains on Friday.
Some beach.
All concerts start at 8:30. Call 888-462-3247 or on the web at AdamsCountyFairgrounds.com. July 23rd through the 27th.
My feet got the good care from Brown Shoe Fit Company.
Hey, this is Nolan Applegate, your new manager at Brown Shoe Fit in Kearney. With summer in full swing, we have some great deals on our spring and summer sandals and footwear. Tables of shoes at $9.99, $19.99, and $29.99. Hundreds of men's and women's shoes on the clearance racks. Sidewalk sale prices all week long. Come save on a great pair of shoes at Brown Shoe Fit Company, downtown Kearney on the Bricks.
This is Roger Niffler for O'Brien Stratman Funeral Homes and Cremations in Kearney. My father, Arthur, died this past year. He lived life to its fullest, experiencing the Great Depression, proudly serving his country during World War II. A life that spent great times with family. At O'Brien Stratman Funeral Homes and Cremations, my father's funeral was a life story remembered. Innovative and convenient always, O'Brien Stratman Funeral Homes and Cremations, serving Kearney and the surrounding areas.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show, live from Kansas City, down to about our last 20 minutes here of a Big 12 Conference Media Days. Of course, we'll be hearing a lot more from some great kids like George Hippolyte and Ian Campbell from Colorado and Kansas State. And we'll hear from Coach Dan Hawkins of Colorado this week on the program as well. Next week, Ron Prince of Kansas State. But things are starting to wind down, and Daddy, I guess tomorrow we'll have a lot more time to maybe say what we've learned and say if anything's changed in our mind from what we put down in the preseason predictions. I guess right now I can't think of anything that would.
No, you know what, I think everybody can come, and, you know, these Baylor Bears are awfully confident. Now, will that result of a 5-6 win season?
I doubt it.
You know, Iowa State sounds confident. You know, are they going to make advancements from a 3-9 season? You know,
I doubt it.
I mean, I think there's some real questions to be answered, especially from those. But you talk to them, they sort of turn, you know, make you want to believe.
I guess the only thing that maybe I've taken so far is that maybe A&M isn't going to be very good. You know, I guess maybe that's the only thing that kind of struck me, and we're going to find out a lot more. We're joined by Tom Chattel from the Omaha World Herald, who's been here, well, like for 17 straight days.
Yeah.
We're going to mention, by the way, don't forget after the show today, Royals baseball here on ESPN Radio. Tom,
there you go.
Yeah, boy, it just gets better, doesn't it?
They get Alex Gordon back on the field, don't they?
They need something. Well, wow. You're here at Big 12 Media Days. Have you learned anything?
No. No, I should say that it's been fun. It's interesting every year. The question it seems to kind of change every year, the overall theme, and it seems this year's theme has been offense, spreads, the new play clock, no huddles, and it's fun to hear people. You know, there weren't a lot of questions to Bo Pelini about his team. It was more like, how do you stop this offense? Everybody kind of sees him as sort of a defensive guru coming into the league filled with firepower. So that's going to be interesting. I don't think he's going to have the players yet to go after the top offenses, but I think it's going to be fun to see him tackle that.
Tom,
literally.
you bring up Bo Pelini, and people obviously will get a chance to read your articles up until the day of that first game with Western Michigan, but you like this team. You're probably a little bit more optimistic than some people are.
Yeah, some people say that that's naive, and that's probably true too. But my thing is, well, I think when there's a coaching change, it goes one or two ways. Either the new coach makes it so complicated, tries to change so much, and tries to make everybody fit his system that it just screws with their heads, and it takes forever. I think we saw that in 2004 with Callahan and Nebraska. The other way is the coach fits his system around the players and their talents, and basically just tries to kind of dummy it down and make it simple, let them go have fun. It's all about enthusiasm and motivation and really getting fired up. And I think that's what we're going to see this year. I think if you have that, I really think that that's worth a couple wins. So right now I've got about 8 wins. That's kind of the over-under. If you go 9, you're probably optimistic. If you go 7 or 6, maybe you're not so much.
Doug's at 3. Doug's got him at 3.
What are you talking about?
It's a joke. You know what?
3 losses, right?
So, yeah. 7-5. I said 7-5, and, you know, people's eyes when Bo Pelini was hired, I thought 7-5. And that's 3-1 non-conference. That's 4-4 in the conference. And 4-4 can get you second in the North behind Missouri.
I mean, if you look at the schedule, it's Missouri and Tech and OU are probably the losses. Now, along the way, everything else is kind of an either-or deal, including, yeah, I think, KU at home. I think it could be either-or. I think this – and the thing about predictions is you have to assume that they're going to be healthy.
Well, everything stays the same
everything
as it is today.
Yeah, everything. We make these brand predictions, it's all we assume everybody's healthy. So I think Nebraska's going to beat somebody that shouldn't, or necessarily be upset, but I think that's going to be Kansas. So, but can they win in Ames? Can they win in Manhattan? Can they, you know?
God, they better be able to win in Ames.
You know, Tom, so there's some of the games that are going to be swing games for this program, and I think the motivation and the so-called passion are going to have to win those games.
You know, I think you're saying, though, they're going to upset somebody, win some, you know, a marquee win for this program. And that's my big argument against, one of my arguments against Bill Callahan. In all of his time, we had 4 years, never won, and people say Michigan, so we go over that all the time, a team that didn't want to be in the Alamo, you know, whatever, not one. You think Bo Pelini will get that signature win this year?
Well, if you consider Kansas a signature win. Now,
I consider Virginia Tech, or I consider Missouri.
I think they will beat Virginia Tech. I think they will beat Kansas. I don't think they'll beat Missouri. But I think that Missouri game will be a bloody brawl, just like they used to make way back in the day. I think Missouri will win that game. I think it'll seem like a win for Nebraska because they're going to push Missouri to the wall. I really believe that. I think that's going to go deep into the fourth quarter. And I think Missouri will just have too much. But they haven't won there in 30 years. I was there the last time they won. I don't want to jinx it, but I was a meager student at Missouri.
Going for the
first time, I remember it was mid November in '78. It was cold and gray. We went to a place called Sweep Left. Do you guys remember Sweep Left?
Heck of a downtown bar on the first level there. Yeah,
that little marquee with the guy running and the blockers. Oh, yep. I drove by there last, and it's still up there. There's a thing on the side of the building that still says Sweep Left.
And
I get goosebumps talking about Sweep Left.
Trying to build that new overpass to get all the fans in there in time. Tom Chattel from the Omaha World Herald joining us here for another minute on the Doug and Daddy Show. So when we get back to Nebraska, we're going to have 10 days before we do this all again, the first press conference.
It comes quick.
In Lincoln. It's unbelievable. What are you looking for? Do you think anything can develop in those next 10 days? Well, we have a different question for Bo Pelini.
No, probably not. I mean, I think when we hit the ground running next week, or I guess it'll be next Sunday or Monday, it'll be more about personnel, who's eligible, who's healthy, who came back, you know, bigger, thinner, whatever, fatter in my case. but it's more, that'll be more of sort of our questions. There weren't a lot of Nebraska questions here this week. It was more people hammering and plenty on how do you stop the spread. So he kind of, I don't know if he got off easy, but it wasn't like people were trying to, you know, pin him down about, you know, Callahan versus Pelini. I thought there'd be a lot of that. There really wasn't that much. I think most of us have moved on from that at home.
I haven't. Yeah.
You know, I don't think we're gonna hammer Bo with a lot of questions about how things used to be, but I just think it'll be more of who's gonna line up where. I think defensively. It'll be interesting to see who lines up where, who's going to be a linebacker, front four, you know, and so forth. So, and then offensively, you know, when's that first depth chart going to come out? Who's going to be running back? Will they play Lucky? Where's he going to play? I mean, that's going to be a very interesting story, too. Where's he going to be on the field? So, I can't wait.
Tom, I think one of the questions on today's show, when you got a Baylor Bears program putting $34 million practice complex, Kansas, $32
million,
Iowa State, they haven't done that yet or to that magnitude yet. Is that the thing holding them back? Yeah, they're going to have to. Is that the thing holding them back? And then talk about your opportunity to go visit the Kansas facility the last couple days.
Right. I got to do that yesterday. I got a tour of their facility, and it's really great. The best thing about it is the whole building is just football. Not many schools just have a big football. You know, Nebraska, some combined athletics and academics and AD. But they have all the bells and whistles and all the fine wood and the furniture, the flat screens everywhere. You know, the really cool thing about it was that Mangino's office overlooks, he has a corner office. It's like if you were going to, you know, you're going to buy a condo, you'd want to get the best condo view of the city. Well, he has the best view, the corner view, overlooking the stadium. That's awesome. It's two big picture windows that overlook the stadium. I went to his office trying to find candy wrappers. You know, just kidding. there's no refrigerator in there. But it's no bigger than Pelini's office. It's in some ways, Pelini's. Callahan built a cave. You know, he wanted a cave in there to go hide. He did. And, you know, if you go to Pelini's office, you open up a door, and there's a big conference room attached to the coach's office, so he could go in there and get away from it all, from all the cell phones. That's what Callahan said. I wanted to get away from the cell phones and the madness and just sit in that room and watch film, which is what he did. Well, college coaches need to be out of the office, too, and doing other stuff. But that, we're going there. I don't want to go there. But bottom line is, KU's got, I think Nebraska's is nicer, but KU's got everything Nebraska's got. The whirlpool where you can run in the whirlpool. If I go to the whirlpool, I'm not going to run. I'm going to sit back and enjoy the bubbly. But you know, they've got all those stuff. But the point is that Kansas has got it. They've got what everybody else has got. So that's what I think it's going to come down to. If you're getting recruits, do you like the head coach, and is there going to be playing time? That's what's going to separate a lot of these, you know, schools that have now. Everybody has the same thing.
Tom Chattel from the Omaha World Herald. Tom, have a safe trip home.
Hey.
We'll see you again in a few days in Lincoln.
See you on the Tri-Cities. I need to get out there.
Well, hope so. There's always a spot for you.
Are there going to be some good high school football again this year out there?
Going to be some good football. Going to be some good talent at UNK. Going to be some good talent in that area. I think there's going to be some of those high school kids being part of the walk-on program in Lincoln.
That's exciting. That's what's going to be fun about this whole thing, is seeing a lot of those kids come back. And I just think that's going to energize everything. A lot of, you know, sometimes you're only as good as the bottom up. And I think that's what's, I think Nebraska's really going to, that's really going to energize everything. So anyway,
Tom, thanks for joining us. Take care, Tom. Tom Chattel, Omaha World Herald at Big 12 Media Days. We need to take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll be right back.
After listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, many people are heard to mutter,
"Who are those guys?"
Those guys, we'll be right back.
ESPN Superstation SportsCenter.
And good afternoon, I'm Mike Weld, the SportsCenter update on ESPN. Well, the Seniors Area 7 American Legion Baseball Tournament will get underway tomorrow at Duncan Field in Hastings. Top-seeded Kearney Runza will play Twin Cities at 5 o'clock in the first game, followed by Hastings 5 points back against North Platte at 8. The double elimination tournament will run through Sunday. We'll have the Hastings-North Platte game tomorrow night on 1230 KHIS, beginning with a pregame show at 7:45. Preparations continue for the 50th annual Shrine Bowl football game, which is coming up this Saturday at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. The South team is practicing at Doane College in Crete, and the North team is going through their workouts at Nebraska Wesleyan in Lincoln. Bob Fuller of Plasmouth is the head coach of the South team. Jeff Tomlin of Grand Island heads up the North coaching staff. The North won last year's game 10-9, but the South leads the overall series 25-21. There's been three ties. Area players participating in the event are Rustin Dring and Brent Maurer out of Kearney, John Uden of Hastings, Dex Schwieger of Aurora, Sam Bolton of Grand Island Central Catholic, Hadley Cushley of Grand Island Northwest, and Dylan Reba and Mike Tomlin of Grand Island Senior High. Kickoff for the ball game is set for 6:30. Former University of Nebraska pitcher Brian Dunzing has been added to the U.S. Olympic baseball team. Dunzing was not on the original 24-man roster, but was added when Clayton Richard was recalled by the Chicago White Sox over the weekend. Dunzing pitched for Nebraska from 2002 to 2005. His career record at Nebraska was 17-2. And in his final year with the Huskers, Dunzing was 8-0 with a 3.00 ERA. The Nebraska football team has landed a 6'7", 290-pound offensive lineman out of Denton, Texas. Jess Coffey orally committed to the Huskers this week. He turned down scholarship offers from Arkansas, Utah, and Washington State. Of the seven commitments Nebraska has right now in the class of 2009, four are from the state of Texas. The Nebraska Coaches Association will host its 41st awards banquet this weekend in Lincoln. The Sunday night banquet will recognize the state champion coaches and scholarship winners. They include Kearney High School boys track coach Roger Matheson, Gibbon golf coach Paul Reinertsen, and Pleasanton boys basketball coach Randy Bauer. The Nebraska Coaches Association All-Star Games will be played next week. The boys and girls basketball games will be played on Monday at Lincoln North Star. The softball doubleheader will be played on Wednesday at Bolin Stadium in Lincoln. The 11- to 12-year-old Kearney National Little League team is headed to Indiana for the National Regional Tournament. The Kearney team won the state tournament over the weekend, defeating Omaha Grover in a best-of-three series. The team will compete starting July 30th through August 9th in Indianapolis. This is the second Kearney team in Little League history to make it to the regionals. Major League Baseball from yesterday, it was Detroit over Kansas City 7-1. Same two teams will wrap up their three-game series this afternoon in Kansas City, beginning at 1:10. That's sports.
Attention all men and women age 50 or older. This is your final notice. The Nebraska Senior Games are being held in Kearney August 7th through the 10th. Today is the final day to get signed up. If you enjoy golfing, swimming, track and field events, tennis, or a number of other sports, this is your chance to show off your skills. Kearney is a qualifying site for advancement to the National Senior Games this year. So for more information, head to NebraskaSeniorGames.com or contact the Kearney Park and Recreation Department. Today is the final day.
Back on the Doug and Daddy Show from Big 12 Conference Media Days. Glad to have you along with us here on ESPN Radio 1460 and 1550. About ready to wrap things up. want to remind folks that Midwest Customs and Paint presents Hot Summer Nights Car Show. It's a tribute to Boyd Connington with special guest Joe Connington coming up August 1st through the 3rd. That's going to be up at the Norfolk Airport. All kinds of things going on, over 30 vehicle and 10 motorcycle classes. Friday evening, the McDonald's Cruise Night, followed by the Nebraska Rocks Country Concert, Saturday night's rock concert, Hot Summer Nights Rod Run, August 1st through the 3rd, presented by Midwest Customs and Paint. Don't forget August 1st through the 3rd at the Norfolk Airport.
Doug, we're wrapping up Big 12 Media Days, and what a better way than talk about 2 minutes of horse racing here. Chris Lincoln.
Hey, Tony, how you doing, buddy?
Good. Chris joins us, and people remember Chris, of course, from ESPN, covering the races with Randy Moss and the
right.
gang over there. Still does some of that on feature days, Breeders' Cup and the Triple Crown races. Now he's a sports director at the ABC affiliate in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Chris, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure. I'm so sick of football right now. After, you know, you think we're waiting for football, and then after 3 days with 12 head coaches and three times 12 players, you know, I think we've all talked out our questions and answers here, so I'm anxious to talk a little horse racing with you, Tony.
I want to ask you one football question
before we do.
Was the internet story, the Nebraska fan hoax story, as big a deal in Oklahoma as it was in Nebraska?
Probably bigger, just because just so stunning something like that would come out, and even more stunning that a couple of Texas radio stations apparently ran with the story. And interesting, the ties, how, you know, the Oklahomans didn't really focus on the fact that it was a Husker fan under the title Darth Husker, as it was the fact that he worked at the University of Texas. That upset OU fans more, I think. And obviously the Daily Oklahoman having their banner stolen and put on there, the byline of a Oklahoma beat writer was put on, that story really caused, and I guess now there's legal actions going on. So just shows again, some of the treachery you can get into with these websites and online and stuff. It's a little scary.
Chris, obviously the big news lately, Big Brown and,
sure.
and the whole break. Your overall thoughts. I know it's sickening because you'd waited like everybody else for that Triple Crown winner and thought he was the one.
That's it. I'm 0-9, Tony. I've been there since 1987 trying to watch Ali Sheba win the Triple Crown, and every Triple Crown since then. It was up there in New York. And true, I've never seen it set up better for a horse. I mean, he was so dominant all through his racing season of three-year-old, the Florida Derby to the Kentucky Derby to the Preakness. Only one real rival, Casino Drive, the Japanese horse. He goes out the morning of the race, so it looks like it's just an absolute walkover, as his trainer pretty much said. If that angered the Triple Crown gods or not, but it just certainly wasn't his day. And I think the hoof was more of a problem. He only had one really serious work between the 3 weeks of the Preakness, the Belmont. He had some foot issues. They only let him jog, and you can't get ready for a mile-and-a-half race on that sandy track with that kind of work, and he just spit it out at the mile pole, and he was done. So I know his shoe was loose and stuff, but I think it happened towards the end of the race. Kent was so much jockey, so that was not a factor, but it was a bit of a disappointment. We'll see if he comes back in the Haskell now next month.
Well, he's racing in the Haskell. It's one of those racing days, a big racing day away from the big racing days, if you will. Which big racing day is your favorite?
Oh, obviously the Kentucky Derby. I mean, there's nothing else like it, guys. If you've never done it, and all your listeners, once in your life, promise yourself you'll go to Louisville, you'll be at the Kentucky Derby on that first Saturday in May. It's just one of the great, great events in American sports, whether you're a horse racing fan or not. To say my old Kentucky home, just is amazing, amazing event. So that has to be my favorite, even more so than the Breeders' Cup, which obviously has much better racing of the entire card of championship horses. But the Kentucky Derby is the race.
Chris Lincoln joins us here for another moment on the Doug and Daddy Show. Chris, what do you think the overall state of horse racing is right now? You kind of got the coverage on ESPN started, and they're doing a whole lot with it. I think in Nebraska, people still think it's going well, but what do you think nationwide?
Well, I missed Six Star Band, I'll tell you that. It was one of my favorite tracks. I love being up there in Omaha with some of the races. Did the Cornhusker Handicap a few years, and great racing fans up there. And horse racing is, I thought it had kind of righted itself. The simulcast dollars coming in, that helped the sport. The casinos, certainly, the slot machines helped the purses. But now they've got to seriously address some issues of safety on the track, as we've seen with the tragedy of 8 Bells, obviously magnified to the Kentucky Derby and things like that. So they've got some work to do in this sport still, and I think they've got the right people in charge and kind of get control of the sport. They have no league. They have no commissioner. That really has hurt this sport, and they've got to address that and get a more national leadership.
Chris, we appreciate it. We're backed up against the bell. We've got your phone number now, which is a bad deal for you. Good deal for us.
Look forward
and,
to it.
And we will catch up with you. Breeders' Cup time
look
comes this fall. We will love to catch up with you then.
Hats off to the folks at Kearney. We had to be able to go up there and play that great basketball tournament up there, and they love Kearney. Talk about all the great hospitality there. So All the best. Hope the Huskers bounce back this year, too.
Well, it'll make life a lot easier in Nebraska. Chris, keep up the great work.
Thank you, buddy. Enjoy it, guys.
Chris Lincoln joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Of course, you know him from his horse racing work on ESPN and now sports director in Tulsa, Oklahoma, ABC. We have ran out of time here at Big 12 Media Days. It flew right by these 3 days. Had a chance to talk to a lot of people and find out a lot of things. Daddy, 1 minute to go. Derek, anything that we got to do before we get out of here?
Nope, that'll do it, guys. We can wrap it up.
Hey, I wanted to thank all the fine folks that have allowed us to be here, including Computer Hardware, Centura Hills Golf Course, Slugger's Bar and Grill, Island Pet Resort, Brown Shoe Fit Company, the Wave Pizza Company. We want to say thanks, and we'll continue to talk about their fine work when we bring you back to Big 12 interviews. Last comment as we get out of here.
Well, last comment, you know, is usually disappointment in speaking with nobody from Texas. They are just non-existent. They do a good job of hiding here. And, you know, one of those big three schools, you know, in the Big 12 and from its inception, it was always Texas, Oklahoma, and Nebraska at that time. Those were the big three. You always want to have somebody from them. It's just tough to do down here.
Texas thinks they're better than everybody else. Guess what? Well, they're not. But they have the most recent Big 12 championship, or I mean national championship out of this conference. So we'll see how Texas moves along, and maybe we'll be able to bring back a couple interviews for you as well. A&M, little surprised with them a little bit. I got a good feeling about Nebraska, but again, it all has to be hashed out on the field, and so we will see what happens. A lot more going on the Doug and Daddy Show, so stay with us here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. In just a few moments, we're going to send you back to Kansas City for the Royals and Detroit Tigers as they wrap up that third and final game of the series. We will see you back in studio tomorrow. More Big 12 talk, Shrine football talk, and a whole lot more. I want to thank all the fine folks for allowing us to be here. And for the last time from the downtown Marriott in Kansas City at Big 12 Football Media Days, Doug and Daddy saying have a great one, everyone.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.